I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says that we are servants of God and entrusted or to be the stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. I'm looking up this word mysteries to see what the definition of a mystery is. And a mystery is something that is beyond understanding. God has these mysteries, these things that are sometimes very hard for us to understand. But as we connect with him, he begins to teach us his mysteries so that we can begin to steward them and begin to teach them to other people as well. God is mysterious. He has some ways of doing things that are a little different than we would expect sometimes. And he's entrusted us to be these stewards of these mysteries. So we're going to be taking communion over this for a couple of things today. Believe and we receive understanding from God on these mysteries that he has for us, and that we're continually growing in our understanding of them. And then we're going to be believing that we receive God's help to steward these mysteries well. So why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading in the book of Proverbs one morning, and Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it, meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we can pass on is lessons and teaching and training for how to truly live, how to walk out this life that God has given us. And so I made a commitment that day to create a system, to create lessons and teachings and systems for every area of life. I wanted training for purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, community, and doing it all together in partnership with God. And really, I had no clue where to start when I first got started. I was running my personal training gym business, and life was just kind of all over the place. I needed some help in my own life at the time. But God was so faithful once I made that commitment and that decision. He just began to show up, and he began to teach me and train me. And over time, he began to teach me some of these mysteries that we're talking about today. Now, out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing we do is daily communion with Jesus. Daily communion with Jesus. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making it active and relevant and alive right now in this present moment today. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. It's proving the death that activates all of the benefits. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in this new covenant. It's an opportunity for us to activate these promises that God has made in our lives. We can combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull those into our mind and remembrance and imagination and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do, that we can release our faith into in the taking of the cracker and the juice. It unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with deep honor and reverence and respect, appreciation and awe for the sacrifice of Jesus, to take it with the fear of the Lord. Yesterday, we did the communion meditation on discerning the body. Discerning the body. And just as we finished up that communion meditation, I was just left with this just greater sense of awe for the sacrifice of Jesus. But I also think it's important we remember two sides. We remember the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through, his willingness to go through all that for us. That God loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. But then on the other side, we also remember what that sacrifice did for us, who he made us to be, this new covenant that we have with him. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, I believe, to make us strong and healthy and give us long life. Then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise, all these principles of health and fitness for nutrition and rest and energy and exercise, are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, how to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. It teaches us how to apply that. And then once we understand how to do it, we can apply that to every other area of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us. He was pierced, he was crushed, so that you could be on our side, you could be fighting for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we walking in faith? Are we walking in love today? Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do it? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact every part of today. And that's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. And when we take our position in the light, it helps us to be able to receive from God. Think about in the sport of football, if the receiver runs the wrong way, he's not in position to receive the pass from the quarterback. When we're in position, it helps us to be able to receive. So to get in our position, the first step, we're going to start with humility. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle, stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, taking that pressure off of ourselves. And we're going to give other people that same grace and forgiveness God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle. always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. I think it's one of the greatest expressions of faith. One of the easiest ways to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith is, are we in gratitude and praise? One of the easiest ways to keep our positioning. And when we take our position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus because he was worthy. He was deserving of it. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. And one of the things that we have to learn how to do, this is a mystery that we have to learn how to understand. We have to learn to receive this from God and to get it flowing through us out into the world. So in this light, I call it an unlimited, inexhaustible supply of God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his purpose and kingdom, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time, his finances, it's all in there. So first we've got to get our position, and then we've got to start to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. First, we turn the lights on. Then we have something like a dimmer switch. We can turn up the brightness of this. And as we do this, it gets this new covenant and all these promises established in our hearts to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable. And it expands the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that I'm repeating? Repeated thought patterns, repeated things I'm saying, repeated actions that I'm doing. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness and mighty works, our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Because what he started, he's going to finish. What he started, he's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. He's going to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Just stay focused on these things as we go throughout the day. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. Stay focused on him. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, toiling away in our minds, trying to figure it all out. Just rolling the problems over and over and over again in our minds, rather than resting and trusting in God. Bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting. These are all ways that we can choose darkness. And that's where we've got to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to snap at people, to withhold good things that we know to do, to vent and complain and pout. We avoid people. We give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. Those are not God's standard for our life. Life. Then there's the heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. Like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Then emotionally, there's the stress and the fear and worry, dread of the future, toiling away in our mind endlessly. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul, this fullness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing as his peace and joy and love and mind and wisdom and power and spirit all just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Because life's throwing stuff at us every day to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And if we get off track, it's recognizing those symptoms and turning it back around quickly. This is a skill set that we can develop. How do we do it? It starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves. We say we're sorry to other people, or we reconcile with other people if need be. And then just start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love, and that what He put within you is more than enough. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put in me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today. Help me tap into it and cultivate it at a greater level so that I respond to these situations of life, the issues of life, with beauty and poise and grace. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel a shift on the inside. Immediately, that weight will lift off of you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love begin to flow through you, the energy. It just takes a moment. And then we're going to stay tuned in today, our third fundamental. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start at the very top. We've been talking lately about installing some filters at the top of your journal, some things to keep our focus and attention and to guide our decision-making throughout the day. As an example, a big picture filter you can install at the top of your journal every night, just something to keep writing every night. God's doing continually good for me. And I'm going to do the same for other people. I'm going to give them the same grace He's giving me. And you install that as the filter. And anytime you're tempted to not do good for others because they did something to you, now you've got this filter to guide your decision-making, like a true north on a compass, to navigate you throughout the day. And I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up? Then it's good to examine ourselves, any areas we need to make some adjustments, any areas where I was getting knocked out of position. And I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes, reflect back over the day. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. Every day, God's trying to lead us and navigate us through the day. We've got to stay connected to Him. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Just take a couple minutes, just 1 to 2 minutes, and slow down, get aware of His presence with you. Feel that fullness in Him. Get connected, get powered up and charged up in Him. Think of it like plugging in your phone to get recharged again. Then the final thing I like to do in my journal before bed is to plan out the upcoming day with God. I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. Sometimes I was getting behind Him. And the way I've learned to stay right on time is to stick with, what do I know to do today? Sometimes I was trying to force things to happen. I'm trying to toil away in my mind, trying to figure it all out. Things that I'm unsure of still. And I was getting out ahead of God. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on good things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for today. So we write out the plan and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning because this is the day that the Lord has made. First thing in the morning, we start praising and thanking Him, get connected to Him, connect with Him in His word. And then we start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in Him. Just that simple childlike faith that He's right there with us every step of the way, helping us in everything that we do. And you get to that place of that confident faith where all the doubt and unbelief is removed. This grace begins to surge through us. And He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's talk about the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 says, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ And stewards, some versions say stewards, some people say, some versions say people who are entrusted, some versions say managers, some versions say administrators of the mysteries of God. Remember, a mystery is something that's beyond understanding. So it takes God revealing these mysteries to us. It says, now it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. So God has these mysteries. God is mysterious. He's full of contradictions and things that you wouldn't expect sometimes. He's got some different ways of doing things that are mysterious that can sometimes be hard for us to understand. I believe it takes him revealing them to us. And then it's up to us to be good stewards of those mysteries. So Heavenly Father, we're asking for your help today. Mysteries that are beyond our normal human understanding, but we have the mind of Christ. You've given us the mind of Christ. We're asking for you to reveal these mysteries to us, to help us to keep growing in these mysteries of you, because I think they're never ending. There's always another level of them. To grow in our understanding of these mysteries of you, Lord, because you are mysterious. You are mysterious, and that's one of the things I believe. Mystery creates attraction. Mystery pulls us closer because we want to learn more about him. Helps us to press into him more, to chase after him more. So, Father, we're asking for help in growing in our understanding in your mysteries, and that you would help us to steward them well, to be faithful in them, to help other people with them. And that we ourselves would grow more mysterious, just like you, as we pull other people into these mysteries of you. So, Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus. All that he went through on the cross, he was pierced, he was crushed, he was whipped, he was beaten. By his stripes, we've been healed, and so much more. It pleased you to crush him, it says in Isaiah 53. So that on the other side of that, we could be connected to you. We could have this new covenant with you. We could be right and holy and perfect in your sight. We could know these mysteries of you. We could know you. And growing in our knowledge of the mysteries of you is part of knowing God, is knowing his mysteries. So, Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. That's what it's all about, this personal relationship with him. So Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right, let's talk about health and fitness. So in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, we talk about God's system for abundant health. And we have a section in that book. We have a whole chapter on the mysteries of God. There are a lot of paradoxes of health. For example, people talk about the French paradox. For example, things like red wine and coffee and some of these types of foods, chocolate. There's this paradox that having none is not as healthy for you as having some, but having too much is not good as well. There's these paradoxes of health. There's these mysteries of health. There's the mystery of consistency and variety, how we need both. We need consistent routines and consistency in our health, but we also need some variety for health as well. There's this mystery. Should you do cardio? Should you do weights? Should you be doing flexibility and stretching? The answer is yes. All of the above, because they all work together for good. They all build off of each other. In the area of nutrition, there's these mysteries of how the different colors, the different flavors, the different shapes of foods give us clues into what they do for our health. They give us clues into which organ systems they are nourishing. For example, the color green is nourishing the liver. The color blue is nourishing the kidneys. Color white is nourishing the brain, nervous system. Different flavors, sour flavors are nourishing the liver. Salty flavors are nourishing the kidneys. Sweet flavors are nourishing the pancreas and the immune system. Different shapes of foods, like the eye of a carrot, helps us to have healthier eyes. Tomatoes look like hearts. Black beans look like kidneys. Kidney beans look like kidneys. The different colors, flavors, and shapes of food, how they all impact different pathways in our health. God has all these mysterious things, these paradoxes of health, working everything together, and all these clues. And so something I think to study would be how different, you could start with this. This is where it started for me. How did different colors impact your health? I once came across a lady named Hazel Parcells. She was on her deathbed in her 30s, I believe it was. She ended up healing herself with nutrition. And she went on to become this woman who people were flying in from all over the world to come see her when they're having major health issues. And she used to say, the Bible is the best book on nutrition. And she used to say this interesting thing. She truly believed that color therapy would be the next wave of medicine. Color therapy would be the next wave of medicine. These different colors and combinations of colors impact the body in ways that we don't fully understand, I think, for a lot of people just yet. It's part of the way God created our bodies to function. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.